And friends, if you've been following me on social media lately, I've been pretty transparent about the struggles that I've been having with overwhelm, burnout, and just generally struggling to process everything happening in our world right now. It has been so nice to connect with so many of you who share similar feelings and not feel alone. It's tough times out there, and I feel like a lot of people are in a funk these days. I'm so thankful to have my plant collection to turn to and use as a tool for wellness in these trying times, and am learning that plant care is self-care on such a deeper level than what everybody's like hashtagging on Instagram. Several of you recommended that book Lessons from Plants by Baronda Montgomery. And from page one, when I started reading this book, I felt like I had met a plant soul sister in this planty author. While for years I have waxed poetic on this podcast about the lessons that I've learned from plants in our Plant Side Chat series on the podcast, I have struggled with understanding the science behind these phenomena that I witness and take meaning from. And this book is kind of the answer to my prayers. Baronda has a scientific background and understanding and does this deep dive in the book and shares the life lessons that she learns from plants, but the scientific kind of reasons for why they happen. So I had to have Baronda on after hearing about and reading this book. She joins me today for this interesting conversation. We riff on not only lessons from plants, but the different scenarios that have occurred to so many of us in 2021 and which lessons from plants that we can pull to help us get through them. I hope this conversation helps inspire you, bring some smiles to your face, and a deeper knowing within. Welcome to episode 134 of
Blue Mangrove Radio.
Plant friends, I have such a fun announcement for you. By the time this episode airs, I will be married. Oh my gosh. You might know, you might not know. I've shared a little bit on social media, but this was our third wedding date, October 2nd, 2021, after trying to get married Labor Day 2020 and then June of 2021. Both of those days fell through. Billy and I are finally married. I'm recording this before the wedding date because I batched all of my content in October so I can get married and have a honeymoon and keep my computer closed. So stay tuned. There's going to be a lot of wedding stuff coming. We have a whole planty-inspired wedding series hitting the podcast airwaves in November and December. This was a botanically-inspired wedding on so many levels, plant friends. I'm so freaking excited to tell you all the details. So anyway, stay tuned, and I'll be sharing snippets of the wedding on the Bloom & Grow Garden Party platform and maybe some Instagram as well. Anyways, man oh man, I think this was one of my favorite conversations we've had this year on the podcast. Baronda is my new planty soul sister. We had such a great conversation. We're two peas in a pod, but we're like a nice yin yang of her having that scientific understanding that I talked to you about. So enough of me blabbering. Let's just dive right into this planty conversation. Here's Baronda. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Veranda, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation to be here with you today.
You have such an interesting story. When your book came out, I had several listeners keep recommending you to me. I grabbed the book and I just binged read it. And I feel like we're like soul sisters. Everything you wrote really resonated with me. So I'm so excited to kind of have a deep plant soul conversation today.
Oh, thank you. And I also thank your listeners for the recommendation. I never underestimate the power of listeners.
Oh my gosh. Especially if you listen to them, they always lead you to the right place. So, you know, I'm well acquainted with you after reading your book, but for those who might not know who you are, how did you become the plant lady that you are today?
Yeah. So I am a self-described plant enthusiast. It was actually a long path. So I grew up, my mom loves plants, lots of plants inside and outside the house. Still to this point now, she's almost 80. But I really developed a strong interest in plants personally when I took a plant physiology class in college. So I was a biology major, very interested in biology, but didn't think plants were as interesting as other organisms until I took that class and was just fascinated with the range of activities and behaviors and decisions and everything else that are going on with plants and plant communities.
I like in the preface, you talked about growing up with your mom, having lots of houseplants indoors and the garden being the respite of your community. I'm curious because this is a houseplant-based podcast. What kind of plants did your mom have growing up in her house?
My mom had some of everything. So I remember ferns. I remember snake plants. She had a monstera, although I didn't know that's what it was at the time. And so she had a lot of different plants. She liked green leafy plants. She had very few succulents or that kind of things. But in her outside, she loved roses. She loved to cultivate roses and she had lots of flowering bushes as well. So I remember a lot of those.
That's amazing. My mom, I grew up, I'm an Italian American. My grandparents came over from Italy and I have very weird sense memory of the smell of geranium because my grandma had so many geraniums in this little like greenhouse that she had. But I don't have a lot of, I remember the green. I don't remember a lot of the specific plants. And my grandma passed when I was young. My mom said she had an 8-foot monstera in her house, which I have no memory of, but monsteras, when I got into plants in my late 20s, like were the first plant I was like super obsessed with. And I think about that connection, that like missed connection, I guess, with my grandma.
Yeah, that's what made me think about monsteras because I don't recall my mom's, but they're so popular now, you know, in terms of even having Monstera Monday, right, on social media. So
totally. Yes. Hashtag Monstera Monday. And also, you just have such an amazing background of the degrees that you have and where you educate. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I did my bachelor's undergraduate studies at Washington University in St. Louis. And when I was there, I was a biology major, but my plan while I was at Washington University was to go on to law school and become a biological patent lawyer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was towards the end of graduate undergraduate where I worked in a laboratory, really wanting to understand the process about which I'd be writing patents. That was the goal. But then I realized that there was a possibility to have a career as a scientist. And so I went off to do a master's degree back in home in Arkansas. And that's where I took this first plant physiology course, got super excited about plant physiology. And then I went to the University of California, Davis, to study plant biology. And that's one of the hubs for plant biologists. There are over 100 plant biologists at that one campus. And so I was totally immersed in any kind of aspects of plants, you know, from everything to how plants are used in cultural practices, agricultural practices, and basic science. So it was kind of that path. And it was at the UC Davis that I decided I wanted to be a professor myself. And now I'm a professor at Michigan State, which is very similar to Davis in that we have over 100 plant biologists on campus in many different departments doing everything from turf grass to agricultural work with plants.
It must be amazing to be around that many plant nerds.
Yes, it is absolutely fun. Yes.
That's amazing. Well, I'm so excited to dive into your book, which is called Lessons from Plants. I want to dive into a couple of different things that came up throughout your book, but I have to preface it with a few things for the listeners. Number one, I binge read the book, but I have to say I'm going to absolutely reread the book because each chapter is so nutrient rich, for lack of a better term, in information and storytelling. Like, that's really beautiful. And something for me as I was reading my book, and I know a lot of my listeners probably feel this way. On my podcast, I have a series called Plant Side Chats, where I talk about life lessons from the garden. But something that I always struggle with, because I'm a plant enthusiast with a degree in opera and like no understanding of science, like the last science class I took before I got into plant science was like when I was in high school. It's so interesting to like feel these lessons and like see these lessons in the garden, but not understand the science of why they happen. And it leaves me so curious. And I feel like your book was a real answer to that, because you're explaining all of these phenomena that leave me like feeling kind of mystified and leave me feeling my feels, but you explain them in such a really attainable, understandable way. So thank you personally, before we even dive in to hooking up our listeners with some of your lessons.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because that was one of my goals. I'm the only plant biologist, only practicing professional scientist in my family. And that was one of the goals, to invite people in like my mom, who have a love for plants, into the science behind it in a very open and accessible way.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation happening in the gardening industry right now, with the surge of plantfluencers and the surge of like all of these enthusiasts making companies, you know, and brands and stuff, but then also horticulturalists and botanists being like, you know, you're educating wrong, or you, who do you think you are to like educate and talk and create content around this when you don't have the degree? But there needs to be more bridges, I feel like. I feel like sometimes it feels very separate.
I agree. And I think the bridge is for us to connect across our enthusiasm. People who are taking care of plants at home or plant scientists, we have an enthusiasm for plants. And if we could connect on our enthusiasm and then insist on the facts later, I think we could build bridges between the communities for sure.
Totally. And there's such a through line of, you know, where do we learn collaboration? Trees, forest, mm-hmm. Yes. You know, environments. Yes. And that's such a beautiful through line in your book. You talk about several different ways we can learn from the way plants collaborate, which we'll touch on throughout the conversation. So that was just my like fangirl disclaimer that I just had to get out of the way so we can dive in. So your book, Lessons from Plants, each chapter is kind of a different concept that you then dive in and like talk about these different things. I was thinking it could be really fun for us to kind of structure our conversation around how we can use plants to cope with what we've all been through in 2020 Yes. and 2021. What I know very deeply with our listener community and with me personally is everyone has experienced significant change, loss on a much larger level than in other years. And for me in 2020, the concept of pruning like got me through 2020 when I lost my job, my wedding date, you know, all of it. And the listeners know this because I've done other episodes on it. But you offer so many other of those kind of light bulb moments. So I'm going to kind of give you some different situations that I think a lot of us have gone through. And then maybe we can kind of pull different scenarios from your book to kind of offer some planty perspective for people who might be going through similar things.
Awesome. Sounds fun.
Okay, cool. I mean, talk about loss this year, right? Like talk about in 2020 specifically, losing, kind of pruning back. What does that bring up for you?
Well, particularly around loss, I've thought a lot about that. I didn't talk about it in the book because it was after the book was in, but I wrote an article for Elle Magazine. I particularly was going through some personal loss before the pandemic. So I lost my father in October of 2019 and was really dealing with the grief of that and trying to recover from the grief of that and reemerge into the world when the pandemic set in, right? So in November of 2019, I planted some tulip bulbs because I always do, but I happened to be in grief. And so I just kind of planted them because I knew it was time. And then as I was trying to reemerge and find my way back into the world without my father on the planet, the bulbs started to come up, right? The leaves started to emerge and the flowers started to come up. And before that, I had thought a lot about peace lilies around loss, because everybody gives peace lilies at funerals. But now, because these tulips were reemerging at a time that I felt I was struggling to, the lesson for me in that is that plant life was really going on. And that lesson came back to me in the spring as well. So when we were grounded, I literally used to travel once or twice a month. When we were grounded in the first part of the pandemic, I was taking walks around my neighborhood and it was spring, right? And so even as everything was stopped, we're hearing about global loss of lives, leaves were emerging on the trees. And it was a really profound lesson for me that even when everything is changing around you, you have to find the strength to go on in your purpose. And so every time, every week, as I would walk and see new leaves or the tulips were blooming, it really became a lesson for me that things will change around you, but you have an ingrained purpose and we have to kind of find the strength to go on. And through us pursuing our purpose, we might bring joy to someone else, right? The joy of the tulips, the joy of the new leaves on the trees. And so that's one of the lessons from plants that I've really learned about loss is the kind of commitment to go on in your life purpose, even when things are changing in very tragic or traumatic ways sometimes around you.
Totally. That's so beautiful. And, you know, you also talked about two other moments in the book that I kind of related to loss and, you know, one moment of the trees, the leaves falling off the trees.
Yes. Yes.
And the concept of culling. You know?
Yes, yes.
Can you define culling for anyone who might not know what it is?
Yeah, so culling, in some ways, weeding is a form of culling. And so we have natural culling that happens in ecosystems when, you know, herbivores are eating plants or we do weeding. And that's the idea that if you have too many plants growing in one space, they'll compete. So you often have to thin them out, remove some so that the ones that will remain will have enough time and resources. And sometimes it's hard to make direct parallels to that of loss because often we lose people not because they've been removed intentionally, but they are gone from our lives, right? And so one of the things that I often think about in the parallels of culling is how if you're left in this space, you really take the responsibility to grow as vigorously as you can because you're the one who's left with those resources, left to carry on the next generations. So I think culling has some really strong lessons for us in terms of what happens when we are the ones left remaining in a space with access to the resources. And then you mentioned the leaves falling off trees. I have lived much of my life in places that have the four seasons. And every fall, as the trees are losing their leaves, it's a reminder to me that sometimes there is loss, necessary loss.
Intentional.
Right?
Yeah.
Intentional planned loss. And the trees are losing their leaves so that they have the energy left to sustain themselves through the season that's coming. And I think there's some really powerful lessons for us because we often don't intentionally, as you were saying, it's an intentional. We don't often intentionally prepare for periods in our life where we know there's change, where there may be less resources, less energy, less time. We're often forced into that. We often are forced into a state of rest because we just work until we're completely burned out, as opposed to saying there's a season approaching where I need to prepare for rest. I need to prepare for loss of resources, if that's the case, and be prepared for what that looks like in terms of shift. And then intentionally shed some things as opposed to the ways in which we often just go complete into burnout. Or like this pandemic should have been a global lesson for us. I think many people have talked about how they've had more time with family, more time at home to enjoy their plants, but we had to be forced into that as opposed to planning for it in intentional ways.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That concept of dormancy, man, it's yes. So amazing when you lean into it and allow for it, even allow for your plants to go, you know, because in the yes. houseplant community, a lot of times you want to put all your plants under grow lights. You want to fertilize all year round because we can manipulate
yes.
indoors to have one season. And no shame in that. People want lush, beautiful indoor homes. I totally get it. But there's also, you know, if you have a plant that kind of naturally goes dormant, there's also just kind of a beauty in being like, okay, I know you'll come back when you're ready.
Yes. Yes.
I really like that. Another thing that to me has been really powerful was I took some courses at the New York Botanical Garden and learned like about the nitrogen cycle and how, you know, when those leaves fall off the tree, they return to the soil as nutrients for the other trees to grow. And I'm going through a career change right now. And I think about, you know, the things of my performing career, which was devastating to lose when COVID hit and Broadway shut down, but like it's feeding my ability to have a podcast and it's feeding my ability to connect with people and do speaking engagements and all these other things. And I think, especially with lost loved ones, like those loved ones, like leave nutrients within you, you know, they make you stronger. And not like any of this is actually, I mean, it's comforting. Not that it's ever easy to lose anyone or to lose anything.
Absolutely. But I think it's very powerful, right, for us to recognize that and to ask how we are carrying on in ways that would honor their memory, as opposed to honoring our sorrow and grief only. Not to say you don't, you know, embrace the grief, but also in that process. So I really appreciate the, you know, that's a powerful lesson that you've shared. You know, there's so many people who did lose jobs and had to make transitions, and how you can lean into the opportunity that created, even as you acknowledge the loss of something very powerful for you. Yes.
Totally. When you're like not having a meltdown in the bathtub. It's what you think about when you're having good days.
That's right.
It's so interesting. So, you know, you mentioned transition. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's going through some sort of transition, but even if you got to keep your job, even if you got to keep your like semblance of normal life, I mean, we touched on dormancy. Is there anything else in regards to transition that, you know, lessons from plants?
I think so. There's some powerful lessons about transition that I experience every year. So I have a few plants that grow really well outside, but I live in Michigan. And so soon I will have to transition them into alternative space that's indoors. And every year when I do that, the plants, there's a period where their growth changes. Often they stall in their growth because they recognize that there's been a transition in their external environment. And I think that that's a powerful lesson for us, that too frequently when we transition, if we move from one city to another, or there are other transitions, we try to keep going in the same way we were going. And I think that lesson of, I recognize that I've transitioned, I'm going to stop and pause and really spend time, you know, detecting what's changed around me, asking what changes I need to make to adjust to the changes. Every year, you know, the first year or two that happened, you were talking about how if a leaf starts to turn yellow and falls off. The first year that happened, I thought, oh my God, what have I done? But that's part of the natural transition, that it's noticing that it's in a different environment and it may need to pull back some resources by sacrificing a leaf. It may need to rest and not grow at all for a period while it just adjusts. And so I think that stopping, really sensing what's going on around you and what's changed in the transition and what changes you need to make. In the activities, in the way you're spending resources, in the networks that you have. I think that's a super powerful lesson for us that we can get from plants.
Thanks to our episode sponsor, Soltech Solutions. Plant friends, fall is here. Are you excited as I am? It's definitely my favorite season. I chose the season to get married in. The days are getting shorter. The weather's getting colder. We're swapping out our closets for fall and getting our pumpkin spice drinks on, getting our leaf peeping on. But have you gotten your plants ready for the upcoming chilly months? No worries if you haven't, because Soltech Solutions has you covered with their full spectrum photosynthetic grow lights that give off a warm white glow. No more dead plants in your house in the winter, and no more harsh looking grow lights or weirdly colored grow lights. Soltech Solutions sleek and modern grow lights make sure that your plants are getting the proper amount of light all year round that they need while fitting in seamlessly into your home decor. They are luxury plant friends. They're beautiful. You can choose a selection of grow lights, whether you're looking for a pendant style aspect light, their track lighting called the Highland light, or their new simple bulb that you can screw into any standard light fixture, which is called the Vita Grow Bulb. They offer hassle-free quality products with great customer service and free shipping and a 5-year warranty. Keep your life and plants green this fall and winter with Soltech Solutions. Check it all out at soltechsolutions.com and get 15% off with the code BLOOMGROW2021. Once again, that's code BLOOMGROW2021 for 15% off. Thank you to Espoma Organic for sponsoring today's podcast. Plant friends, we know I love Espoma. They are a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, our pets, and the planet. I've been using Espoma for several years now. I absolutely love them. I love that as my plant collection has grown and my interest in plants have grown, the way that I use their products has also changed and grown. This year, we had such a fun outdoor gardening season with Melody in her garden, and we used their Biotone starter, their Tomato Tone, their Garden Tone fertilizers, and their Land and Sea compost. You can check out the YouTube channel to see how I use them. And now that it's getting colder, I'm turning my attention back towards my houseplants. and repotting some devastatingly overgrown pot-bound houseplants that I have really needed to repot for a while. I'm going to be using my Lazy Girl homemade potting mix with them, which is 50% of the Espuma potting mix and 50% of their orchid bark. I kind of switch the ratios depending on what I'm repotting, but that orchid mix already has a lot of the different amendments that a lot of people who make their own plant mix use. So I'm a lazy girl and I just use the Espuma bagged orchid mix. Limey has never been happier, I'm not gonna lie to you, because we've started using the citrus tone on him more frequently. He's thriving. And to top it all off, I know this is important to a lot of you, Espuma has a huge sustainability commitment. They have 100% solar powered plant. They have zero waste manufacturing and eco-friendly packaging. So if you wanna learn more about their indoor and outdoor products, visit espoma.com to see where your local Espuma dealers are. Or you can click the link below in the show notes to head to the Bloom and Grow Espuma Favorites Amazon storefront to see my favorite picks. Okay, let's talk about resources, because you touched on this in the book and it really struck a chord, because I've been having a lot of conversations with listeners and members of the community and members of my personal community as well. It feels like everyone is hitting this moment of like extreme overwhelm. The compounding effects of 2020 and 2021 hitting them. People are overworked. Burned out is a word I hear a lot. And it was interesting hearing you talk about how plants know to use only the amount that they need and how they are so intentional with what choices they make. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah, I think probably one of the examples I was sharing is how that comes out in terms of competition, right? Competition for resources. And, you know, if you have two plants that are growing in soil and there's only so much iron or nitrogen available, or if you have plants growing in sunlight and there starts to be crowding, there is a competition for access to these resources. So plants need nutrients, water, and light to grow, right? For photosynthesis. But what's been fascinating to me about plants is that they are assessing how much resources that they need to support their growth. And they will go about the activities to acquire those resources. But once they have what they need to sustain their growth, they will stop competing. So they don't spend any additional energy. And, you know, I think about the ways in which we are conditioned to just almost hoard resources as humans, right? Which means you're putting all this energy into acquiring something that you don't really need. But that means that's energy that you can't use something else. And I often think about the example, I am a mother, I have a son. And in my career, there were periods of times where it would have been easy for me to just keep pursuing the next accolades, the next paper, the next book. But then that's time I won't have with my son. And so I think the lesson is, how do we get the resources we need? And then how do we use energy for other things as opposed to continuing in kind of non-productive behaviors? And plants are very good at that. In terms of assessing, this is what I need. This is what I need to get it. And once I get it, then it's no longer a necessity to continue spending energy in that vein. And I think that's sometimes how we do burn ourselves out, that we continue to pursue things without stopping to ask, do I have enough of what I need to have a successful and productive life? Or am I continuing to pursue this just because that's what I've been kind of conditioned to do in the way that our society functions?
Man, I'm so guilty of that this year. Like, of just, I think we all are, and just not knowing when to stop. And you just reminded me, I wanted to read a portion of your book in the beginning and I forgot. So let's read it now. Cause it's all about, it's all about the sensitivity that plants have that I think we learn from. So it's in the beginning of the book, you write, "We can learn a great deal from observing how plants live in their environment. Notably, the knowledge of plants, lessons from these organisms on being, shows us that you thrive or languish based on your ability to know who you are, where you are, and what you're supposed to be doing. Then you must find a way to carry on from the sense of self to your surroundings and to pursue your purpose, a task that may be challenging if you're in distress, compromised, or have mutated from your ingrained, encoded, and adapted purpose." I just think that's very interesting that plants so innately can tune to what they need and their surroundings. And I think humans really lose that ability.
Yes, we do. And I think part of it, you know, I think there are multiple reasons why we do that. Part of it is that, you know, plants are very aware of being in community, who they're around, who they're in relationship with. And that matters because plants don't exist as solitary beings. Our human societies are so focused on this individualistic kind of notion of success. And so that gets us trapped in, I need more resources, I need more resources, without asking the question, are there resources distributed in the community, you know, so that everyone kind of, and if I'm continuing to hoard, that means there's something that's not available for the next person. And so I think part of it is this kind of individualistic versus community-based understanding of our kind of success and thriving that plants have a greater awareness of. I'm sure there are some other parts of that. I think we also don't spend enough time in self-reflection as humans, which is the equivalent of plants kind of scanning the environment and seeing what's changed about who's near them, what's available. We often keep ourselves so busy that we don't have that time for self-reflection to even know when a transition has happened, to know when resource has changed.
And now we just have TikTok to just take every free minute of our freaking time, me included. I love TikTok so much and I've got to stop because it's just amazing how little time you can create for yourself when you just like scroll on TikTok when you're like peeing instead of just like sitting.
You just get sucked in, right? And before you know it, half an hour is gone.
Oh my God, it's just an amazing piece of technology.
And I think that sometimes we overwhelm ourselves thinking we need huge blocks of time for reflection. But, you know, even if we just took a few minutes in the morning to reflect on what went well yesterday, what didn't go well yesterday, and how does that affect what I plan to do today? I think that we talk ourselves into thinking that self-reflection and self-care are things that require a lot of time or a lot of money, as opposed to just saying, I'm not going to take my phone in the bathroom, right? And so that'll give me a few minutes to reflect. Or my son hates it. There are no TVs in the bedroom at my house because I was like, when you wake up, you know, you should just look at the sun, make sure you're breathing well, and then we'll deal with those kinds of things later. But I think the ways that we set up our lives and the constant access that we have now, right, by carrying a computer around in our hand, that you can get sucked in. And I'm as guilty as anyone. I go on Twitter for 2 minutes and then next thing I know, it's an hour later, right?
100%. Yeah. Lately, I really fell out of my plant care routine and my mindful routine. I've been sharing about it on Instagram lately. And a big commitment that I've made, which is very simple, is just I'm going to interact with a plant in the morning before I interact with my screen and a phone.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
It can be like one leaf touch. Like I don't need to go sit and meditate for 15 minutes the way I used to every day. Like I'm building myself back up to that, but I'm trying to just do like little incremental small things just to kind of ground myself again. Cause it's really amazing how easily you kind of slip out of that. Yeah. So anyway, I digress, but okay. What about so many people moved? What about lessons from plants in terms of moving and being, I mean, you started to touch on it with being in a different surrounding with transition, but any specific things like that?
In terms of moving, one of the things I often think about is repotting, right? Because you're moving a plant kind of from its one, and that can be whether you're doing that with a pot or if you're moving plants outside. And, you know, one of the things that we don't often think about is that when we're disrupting the potting or we're pulling them up from the soil, there's a little bit of loss. They lose some root hairs. They might lose a few roots. And I think that frequently when we think about moving, it's an opportunity, right? We're moving to a new job, we're moving to a new house. But during this pandemic, a lot of us were moving for reasons that aren't often as positive as that, right? We were moving. A friend of mine moved to Florida because her mom is there and she didn't want her elderly mom to be in the pandemic alone. And so I think sometimes there can be a little bit of disruption and damage when you move, but what that is signals to plants is to heighten their abilities to be resilient and to prepare themselves when they get in the new soil to put out new root hairs, you know, to put out new growth that is appropriate for them in that new context. And so I think, as I was saying, it's kind of related to transition. Too frequently, we move and try to maintain our lives exactly as they were, when it's an invitation to say, I'm in a new place. What kind of resilience? What kind of growth? What kind of new connections? Maybe they're in soil now that has different bacteria and fungi, so they can have different collaborations with their roots. And so moving is often a chance too to ask, are there new people in my environment that I can connect with? And so those that you, when you look at how when plants move, it changes their microorganisms that they're in contact with. It sometimes changes their growth and resilience, gives them new access to resources. I think all of those things are lessons for us to ask. Not am I just picking up and moving my life intact to a new place. But what opportunities does this provide to shed some things that need to stay in the old environment and to pick up new things, new relationships, new resources that may be present in a new context?
Oh my God. Whoa. I'm like, I want to listen to that little soundbite like every morning. That's amazing. I love the idea of reframing your new place wherever you've moved, even if it feels scary, to an opportunity to grow new roots, an opportunity to expand into a larger pot, you know, an opportunity to kind of trigger new hormones that maybe weren't able to be triggered. You know, when you talk about plants and their hormone, their amazing hormones. That's really cool. Oh my God, I love that. That hit me deep personally.
That was a great question. Great question.
That's beautiful. Speaking of new growth, you had an amazing through line in your book about community.
Yes.
Collaboration and embracing primary succession and pioneer plants, which I think is a lesson many people are learning right now. I think us being home and social media has kind of been a great opportunity for people to sit back and realize like, oh my God, there's so much work that needs to be done. So can you speak to that? Because I thought that was a very powerful parallel that is interesting because you must have, you finished writing this book before the pandemic?
I did. Yeah, I wrote the book in 2019.
That must have been amazing to see new parallel. So
absolutely. So that was some of the fun part. So when a book comes out, you're often invited to write some short pieces for op-eds or whatever. So I had the opportunity to reflect on the lessons from the book in the context of the pandemic. And it was powerful to see how many of them I thought were just general lessons. This moment, I think, amplified, provided a magnifying glass. And it has been really interesting to me that I predicted some of the lessons that I thought might resonate because of the ways I've given talks about them. The one on pioneer species has resonated so much more deeply with people than I might have imagined. And part of it, I think, is the moment. But I have been really fascinated with pioneer species because I do work in leadership. And often it seems to me we always select the same kind of leader, no matter what kind of environment we're bringing them into. And I think this moment of the pandemic provided an amazing platform to think about the power of pioneers. So pioneer species in ecological kind of context, or when you have a deserted parking lot that over time you see this beautiful plant community emerge. Most people don't think it's beautiful. Most people think it's an eyesore. Or if you have floods, we've had lots of floods in the US where, you know, ecosystems get wiped out, or volcanoes. The first plants that can come back into those kinds of spaces are called pioneers because often those spaces are not rich in the resources that you would think plants would need to grow. So if you have a plant growing in the middle of a concrete parking lot, most plants don't use concrete as their substrate. So it's a special plant that can detect the smallest crack, see that there's some moisture there, and put out a root that's strong enough to kind of bust through the concrete, kind of create some space, widen the crack. And those are plants that I think of them as really hardy because they require limited resources, the smallest amount of nutrients, the smallest amount of water to set about living. Sometimes they're very small plants because, you know, you can only grow so big if the resources are limited, but they have a powerful impact because they often widen the cracks, opening up space. In their death, they kind of are turned over and build up the organic material. So both in their life and in their death, they're making the environment richer. And when they're doing that, that increases the access to resources, often opening up the crack for soil, increasing resources through their organic turnover that allows plants who aren't as scrappy as these pioneers to come in, who need more resources, need a, you know, kind of a richer environment. So the pioneers really are ones that can take limited resources, but have transformative impact and open up the space for others to come in. And I think we saw the need for that in the pandemic, you know, when our economics were crashing, but we still needed to have these massive public health responses. We needed leaders who could understand how are we going to make this work when we don't know how many resources we have. Those are different leaders that if you have $1 million, maybe anybody could lead. But if you don't know how much money you have and you still have to be kind of inventive. And I think the thing that's resonated with a lot of people is that, you know, a theme that runs through the book also is around diversity and such. And a lot of individuals, women who are in environments that are typically male-driven, or people from backgrounds that are underrepresented, whether that's racially, ethnic, or socioeconomic, they often are functioning as pioneers. And the thing that when you are the pioneer, you often don't see the impact that you've had because you grow and pass on before you see that you enabled all of these wave of other plants and other organisms to come into an ecosystem. So I think that's resonated with a lot of people to see that sometimes you're operating in less than ideal conditions, but through your persistence, through your continuing to kind of follow your purpose, you may be really setting the path for a beautiful ecosystem to emerge. And so I think that has resonated quite deeply with a lot of people. Me as well. That's not an area that I study. That's an area I studied to write about this. And it was really quite impactful for me as well.
Yeah, especially in this conversation around diversity and inclusion. It's so... Yes. So powerful. And also the intentional disruptors. So you talked about the pioneer plants and then the intentional disruptors. It was this very interesting. Well, why? I don't have to talk about it. Why don't you?
I think that, you know, I brought that up because, you know, we look at the changes that we've seen from the pandemic, but this was a natural occurrence, right? For a virus to emerge. Or if you have a flood or a volcano, these are kind of natural patterns of disruption. But we do know from history, if you look at indigenous populations and others, they use intentional disruption, like managed fires, to manage ecosystems. And often we resist the idea of intentional disruption. You know, if we talk about the fact that if we look at the CEOs of the top 500 companies, that they're all male and we should have some kind of intentional disruptions, people will say, oh, no, we can't do that. We just have to kind of hope that it gets better. And I think that what nature has taught us is that naturally managed ecosystems that have long-term sustainability, where we don't see all of these forest fires and other things, there are intentional disruptions that have happened over the years to say, we have the idea that we want to manage this. And so we have to do some things to really manage the ecosystem. But it's hard for us sometimes to embrace that intentional disruption as opposed to say, well, we'll learn from natural disruptions. And I think we have to at least consider it. Look at how it's served.
No, it's interesting. I mean, you framed Trump as the intentional kind of disruptor, right?
Yes.
And then the marches, the responses, and how much growth that encouraged. It was a very interesting parallel.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, bringing up this point, that's the point. You can have intentional disruptions that are intentional for good or for bad.
Yeah.
But they can bring forth a risk, not to get political, but they can bring forth a response, right, in terms of that still leads to this massive change. And I think we've seen that multiple times over. You know, we've been talking about what's going on in 2020 and 2021. Last year in June, when we had the death of George Floyd at the hands of police, that brought forward some powerful responses. And so those are the kinds of opportunities I had last year when I wrote this book. I didn't imagine any of these things would happen. You wouldn't want them to happen. But certainly these lessons from plants just resonate. Not only plants, I happen to be fascinated with plants, but I think there are so many lessons in the natural world. You know, we think as humans, we're doing things that have never been done before, but we're organisms like other organisms on the planet. And I think there are lots of lessons for us there.
Totally. I think too, the pandemic, blessing of the pandemic, is people are ready to learn the lessons from plants. Like, I think people are ready to reconnect with nature. I mean, we saw that with gardening, gardening sales, like quadrupling, you know, sales and the surge in interest in houseplants. Like, I think people are ready to listen because they've had that quiet moment. So what about you? What's been your favorite lesson? What have you been leaning on this year?
I read a book a few years ago by David George Haskell, and I think it's called The Forest Unseen. I may be misremembering the name, but he spent a year in a forest watching it, documenting it, and writing a book about it. And one of the lessons I've had this year, opportunities I've had, so I was saying I used to travel so much. I've had the opportunity to get really reacquainted with my plant neighbors in my own neighborhood by taking, you know, daily walks and watching them, watching things emerge, having more time for my own gardening. So before, I would choose plants that were easy to care for and that could be cared for in my absence. But I've had time this year to try a few plants that I've always wanted to grow, orchids and other things that were difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And so I think the lesson that I've gotten is how important time is. And even as I've started to get invitations to get back into some of the work that I've done, I'm looking at those invitations differently in terms of how they impact my time with my local community, whether that's people, plants, or family. And I think that those are the kinds of lessons for me that are in relationship with plants, but not directly, you know, about the plant. But I have really enjoyed the chances just to watch all of the trees and to see some new flowers and plants that I wasn't even aware of as I've been walking in deeply. And at this lake, I spent so much time on a bench under this lake in the background of my Zoom, just to watch the tree and to see what it's doing each season and to reflect on that and ask questions about my life.
Okay. I really do feel like we're soul sisters now, because I literally, I moved to the woods in the middle of the pandemic. And have you read The Overstory yet?
Yes. Yes.
So first off, when I was reading your book, I really got vibes of that character, the VOC character, the woman who's like so connected with plants. Yes. I loved her. And I really felt that with you and with the way that you write. So for those of you who haven't read The Overstory, there's one character that has this unbelievable story that for generations, his father, and then he took it over, has been photographing the same tree every month for like, decades? It was like the most beautiful story. And when I moved into the woods, I started documenting the tree outside of my window. I sadly ended up moving, but I have a 6-month video of the tree being like fully under snow into spring.
Yes.
And it's like the coolest thing ever. But yes. I agree with you that that's a very moving, simple practice. That's just lovely.
It is. And you know, not to disrupt from the question you might have been about to ask, but the last chapter of the book, I talk about how when my son was young, we planted this tree for him because we wanted him to have that kind of experience where you see yourself growing with other organisms and you have a real point of connection with someone other than yourself, right? And other than humans. It's easy to love your family, but to care for other beings. So no, I love The Overstory.
Yeah. That's funny, because when I read the last chapter of your book, I was like, oh my God, it's just like I was like, I can't wait till we buy our house and I have a kid. So I'm going to do that. I'm stealing this idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I wanted to dive into the concept of the three sisters. We're a little bit out of time. I'm going to say that you all should buy Lessons from Plants, because we didn't even get to talk about it, but it's another really moving concept that I'm going to be applying in your kind of plant care, self-care practice with this kind of agricultural practice. But where can people find you and follow you and get the book?
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, I'm at Baronda M. On Instagram, I'm at Baronda_M. And you can find all those connections on my website, BarondaMontgomery.com.
Okay, cool. And definitely pick up Lessons from Plants. It'll be linked in the show notes. And thank you so much for this conversation. It was so nice chatting with you.
Oh, I had a fabulous time. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you so much, Baronda, for this amazing conversation. Man, I love her. I really like her a lot. And I really liked her book. You should totally get it. It's linked in the show notes, Lessons from Plants. It's a slow read. I binged it in one day because the shipping got messed up and I had an interview scheduled with Baronda that I didn't want to cancel. But I would highly suggest making your coffee in the morning and reading one chapter a day. The chapters are short enough, but they're so nutrient rich with information. You want to like process them. I would say order the book and read it nice and slow. It's so great. And thanks again to Baronda for joining us today. You can click the links and follow her on all of her socials below. Plant friends, I'm on my honeymoon right now. I'm so excited. I will share more details about the honeymoon to come. We have a whole botanically inspired wedding series that we're putting the final details on. I wanted to wait to kind of finish the episodes till after my wedding, but we've got all sorts of fun episodes on wedding flowers and how to incorporate houseplants into your wedding. We did it in some really fun ways. So, plant friends, the season's changing. I can feel the nip in the air. I can feel positivity and promise coming through. I hope you're all doing well. And I hope these lessons from plants that Brandon and I talked about help you find a little bit more positivity and happiness in your life. Until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more planty content, or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Planned Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at bloomandgrowradio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the Plantiest Corner of the Internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the Plantiest and Kindest Corner of the Internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, That drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.